brothers and sisters, I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once again to Food for the Journey. Welcome to this second week of Advent. And by now, brothers and sisters, really, we need to be serious. And I do mean that. We need to be serious about our preparation. I know you're very busy, but the entire feast, the entire holiday season may go by without you receiving the spiritual gifts and graces that God wants to give you. It really, really makes a difference, a substantial difference in this world as well as in the next. And so I want to encourage you, please give God time. You will be amazed at how much more oriented you are to the season, how much more focused you are, how much more peaceful you are in the midst of so much busyness. So I urge you, please take time, certainly to listen to this program, but also to take at least 15 minutes a day with the scriptures that are here. Don't just say, oh, I've listened to Food for the Journey, so now I know. You know an element, but you need to read the word yourself. I can give you an orientation. I can give you certain verses to pay close attention to, and you may just want to focus on those, but the light of God in you, and it is, if you're not in mortal sin, there is a light, there is an insight in you that God wants you to use, but you have to activate it. Lord, teach me, show me. Every time you open the scriptures, kiss the scriptures. It's a living word. It's the beloved Son of God speaking to your heart. Read them carefully. Let them begin to take root in you and bear fruit. That's the key to Advent. It's just as the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, today, as I've told you so many times, we're not celebrating a past event. We're celebrating a living reality that Christ desires to be born in you. If you have never received him into your heart, if you have never committed yourself to be a follower of Jesus Christ, this is the time to do it. Or to recommit if you've fallen away, have been gone for many years. This is the time to say, Lord, I want to follow you. And then look at the word he offers us. Look at the power he offers us. Look at the Eucharist. He gives you food and drink for the journey. He gives you his word for the journey. He's equipping you. And we ignore. We pass by. We pay no attention. So I want to say to you, please, if you've been in that category of people, please take time to listen today. May God bless you and change your heart. So we take a look at the first reading for today, Isaiah chapter 35, verses 1 to 10. This is the prophet speaking of what will happen when the Messiah comes. This is what he's saying. It's a beautiful passage. The desert and the parched land will exult. The steppe will rejoice and bloom. They will bloom with abundant flowers and rejoice with joyful song. The glory of Lebanon will be given to them. The splendor of Carmel Sharon. They will see the glory of God, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the hands that are feeble. Make firm the knees that are weak. If you're feeble and weak because of a lack of faith, God wants to strengthen you. Say to those whose hearts are frightened, be strong. Fear not. Here is your God. He comes with vindication, with divine recompense. He comes to save you. This is what God wants to do in your heart right now. If you're frightened, if you've had very difficult circumstances and you're frightened, the prophet tells us when the Messiah comes, those whose hearts are frightened, I speak to you. I say, be strong, fear not. Here is your God. He comes with vindication. With divine recompense, he comes to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, the ears of the deaf be cleared. Then will the lame leap like a stag. Then the tongue of the mute will sing. Streams will burst forth in the desert. In other words, in all kinds of ways, the prophet is showing us from nature that how everything will change, and that what's happening in nature is a sign of what can go on in our heart and in our lives. Streams will burst forth in the desert, rivers in the steppe, the burning sands will become pools, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The abode where jackals lurk will be a marsh for the reed and the papyrus. A highway will be there called the Holy Way. No one unclean may pass over it, nor fools go astray on it. No lion will be there, nor beast of prey go up to be met upon it. It is for those who have a journey to make, and on it the redeemed will walk. You and I have a journey to make. That's why this program is entitled what it is, Food for the Journey. We have a journey to make, and it's a journey that will lead us to our heavenly home. And it's true. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a figment of our imagination. It's true. It is for those with a journey to make, and on it the redeemed will walk. Those whom the Lord has ransomed. Have you accepted that Jesus Christ ransomed you from eternal death by his death on the cross? Those whom the Lord has ransomed will return and enter Zion singing, crowned with everlasting joy. They will meet with joy and gladness. Sorrow and mourning will flee. And the responsorial verse is, our God will come to save us. Our God will come to save us. Do we understand, brothers and sisters, that we need to be saved? Just being a lifelong Christian or a lifelong Catholic does not save you. You can go through all the motions and not receive the grace that God has for us. We need to actively seek him, actively repent for our sin, actively ask him for grace to draw closer to him. Become a disciple. Don't just be a nominal Christian. Become a disciple. Makes all the difference in the world, and that peace and that joy no one shall take from you. Scripture promises it. Luke chapter 5, verses 17 to 26. One day, as Jesus was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there, and the power of the Lord was with him for healing. And some men brought on a stretcher a man who was paralyzed. They were trying to bring him in and set him in his presence, but not finding a way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on the stretcher through the tiles into the middle in front of Jesus. That was a lot of labor, brothers and sisters. Some men brought on a stretcher a man who was paralyzed. So they carry this man who's paralyzed, can't walk, so he can't support himself at all. They carry him to the presence of Jesus. They get there. There's such a crowd, they can't even get close. They go up on the roof. They lift the tiles. That was work. And when they had a hole big enough, they lowered him down. They worked hard to do what? To bring someone to Jesus. How hard do you work to bring someone to Jesus? What lengths will you go to bring someone to know him and to love him and to serve him and to be happy? Honestly. When Jesus saw their faith, notice he wasn't looking at the paralyzed man first. He was looking at what these men were doing for their friend. How much do you do for your friends to bring them to Jesus? When Jesus saw their faith, he said, as for you, and he's pointing to all of them, your sins are forgiven. This act of faith, this act of generosity and charity to a crippled man, your sins are forgiven. How many times do you reach out to the poor and the lonely and the sick and the frightened? God looks at you. He doesn't just look at the one you're bringing to him. He's looking at you too. There are graces and blessings for you. And then the scribes and the Pharisees began to ask themselves, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who but God alone can forgive sins? Who does this guy think he is? They're threatened. Their office, their authority is threatened. by the enormous charity of this group of men. Who is this who speaks blasphemies, who but God alone can forgive sins? Jesus, notice this, Jesus knew their thoughts. We think, you know, if I just think it, I'm scot-free. No, Jesus knew their thoughts. And he said to them in reply, "What are you thinking in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say rise and walk? Which one? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the one who was paralyzed, "I say to you, rise, pick up your stretcher, and go home. Rise, pick up your stretcher, and go home." A sign that God, this was God, a sign that he had infinite power, a sign that he could forgive sins. They were seeing in the body what was going on in the soul. He stood up immediately before them, picked up what he had been lying on, and went home glorifying God. Notice, he glorified God. He didn't just say, "Well, thanks, God, now I can go do what I want to do." He went home glorifying God. He became a disciple. And then astonishment seized them all. And they glorified God, and struck with awe, they said, "We have seen incredible things today." The Pharisees didn't like that. They were threatened. And instead of really investigating, instead of listening to his teaching, following him, learning, they just closed their minds, closed their hearts, and went on their way plotting how to destroy him. There's an awful lot in this gospel passage, brothers and sisters, a lot that you and I can identify with in our own sinful thoughts, our own sinful desires, when we're confronted by something that's bigger than we are and our position is threatened in some way. That's what happened to the Pharisees. They dug down and they defended themselves against the Christ. Please don't do that. Even if what Jesus says sounds hard to you right now, listen to him, because he wants to save you as much as he wanted to save that paralyzed man on the stretcher. And pay close attention to what the friends did for that paralyzed man. Are you a paralyzed man right now by sin? Or are you one of those friends who could help someone, who could bring them to Christ, if you had the charity and the greatness of heart to reach out to those in need? There are all kinds of ways. Read this gospel over several times. Luke chapter 5, verses 17 to 26. Read it over and over again. And look what God is saying to you. Identify yourself with one of those groups, from the Pharisees to Jesus to the disciples to the men who helped. Identify yourself and see what God has to say to you. May God bless you on this Advent journey. As we prepare for this year of mercy, which will begin this December, I want to make available to you a free copy of my booklet, Captured by Mercy. I'm going to be speaking on this program a great deal about the true meaning of mercy, but I'd like you to have a free copy of my booklet now, Captured by Mercy. You can receive it simply by calling this number, 1-800-282-4789.